from Canton Uri in Switzerland. Welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, it is a training method that is even older than Dan. But there is new evidence that lots of easy riding is the key to success in cycling. But is that really true?
Plus, a successful world record attempt, another one curtailed by Russian authorities, and the end of an era for two cycling greats, plus the return of the tenuous cycling celebrity of the week.
It's been a while since that's been in, isn't it?
A few years.
Eight, nine.
This week in the world of cycling, we learned that after 19 years as a pro rider, Geraint Thomas has now ridden his final pro race.
Yeah, he bowed out at the Lloyds Tour of Britain. Nothing to do with you, is it?
No.
On Sunday, and it was in his hometown of Cardiff in Wales as well, in front of a huge crowd.
Looked great, didn't it? His career has seen him win Olympic medals on the track and also do the unthinkable by winning the Tour de France.
Yeah, we also learned that Brompton are celebrating 50 years of their iconic folding bike with this very cool limited edition model.
Only 1,975 are going to be available, a nod to the year that the company was founded, and it's got a thermal fade lacquer finish. Does look nice, doesn't it?
1975.
That's the one side, yeah?
Yeah,
well done.
We also learned that Dan has been out training, but he had to cut it short due to cows.
It's short. I've done loads of training,
okay, sorry.
But no, with the cow one, I did indeed have no choice but to turn around and head home. You told me to turn around.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah.
I texted you a video, didn't I? The
yeah,
cows.
100%, there's no way I'd have gone through there. Also, thank you, by the way, to all of you, of which there were more than a few, who shared with me on Instagram the recent story of an Austrian hiker who was tragically killed in a cow attack.
I'm literally just laughing because Si keeps getting people sending stuff about cows.
Yeah. This is awful.
People. Right, it sounds awful. Doesn't it?
It really was, yeah.
Stay safe out there, everybody.
Yeah, now, aside from avoiding cows, we were talking a little bit more this morning about your training, weren't we, Dan? And particularly that age-old question of how much you can get better when you actually don't have much time to train.
As if I needed another thing to go against me. If it's not morale, it's hours that I've got to spare.
Are you angling to put more work hours aside to ride your bike? Is that where this is going?
I wasn't, but that is a good point, Si. I could do that, couldn't I? Anyway, over the years, we have discussed what the most effective and important training sessions are when you have to fit them in around work or uni or school or whatever, general life commitments, you know, kids, etc. And we've tended to flip between sweet spot training, high intensity intervals, that kind of thing, haven't we?
There was a brief dalliance with faster training. Yeah. Do you remember? We've got over that now.
Have we?
I think for a short period of time, people thought that was a good shortcut, but it turns out everyone was wrong.
Yeah.
But it was a recent article, wasn't it, by the always excellent Alex Hutchinson from Outside Magazine that's got us thinking. Okay, so his headline is "Long, slow distance is the key to endurance success."
Now, as Si pointed out in the intro, this is a training method which is as old as can be, really.
Yeah.
Older than me, like you pointed out, but which has recently fallen out of favour a little bit, perhaps just because the world has got busier and it's less convenient to do massive long hours, but recent research has once again shed new light on it.
Yeah, so this is a study that Hutchinson cites in his article. Okay, so it's written by Annemiek Rota et al. And it analysed, I didn't even look to see where it was.
Oh, no.
Probably one of our favourite journals.
I expect it was.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, it analyses 43 seasons worth of training and racing from 14 World Tour riders, and they split those seasons into highly successful and less successful based on the accumulation of PCS points, which is pro cycling stats points and not UCI points.
Basically, you're in the top 15% of riders if you were highly successful based on those points. When you compare the training data, there is one striking difference in there.
So riders spent the same amount of time training in higher zones, whether they were highly successful or less successful. So we're talking about high intensity stuff here.
Mm.
But the highly successful riders did more hours in total. Where did they do them? Zones 1 and Doom.
Oh, the easy zones. Happy day.
That's it, yeah.
Taken as a big sample, what it doesn't tell us is whether better cyclists can accumulate lower intensity miles because they are better, and less good riders simply have to try harder more of the time. But by looking at the same rider over multiple seasons, they were able to say that seasons where they trained for more hours were then more successful. What?
That's bad news, isn't it, really?
How come?
Well, I haven't got any more time to ride.
Well, no. If you want to win World Tour races, then yes, there are no shortcuts, I think is the conclusion here, Si. Bigger training volume makes a difference.
It does, yeah.
Full stop. However, you've already tried to win at World Tour level and you failed.
Yes.
Didn't you? As did I, so I should point out. So, if you lower your sights a bit, then I actually think the news is a bit more positive.
Okay, well, perhaps you can explain, Dan.
What, why you couldn't win?
No. Because I think we all know that, don't we, really?
Well, that you can still get fit doing much less, do you mean?
Well, yeah.
I think you get a lot of the gains from short to harder stuff but without the really big aerobic training. And then it's a law of diminishing returns, Si. And the more hours you ride, the less benefit each extra hour is going to bring you.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it, really? I find this stuff super interesting, right? So we spent a lot of time, you remember, talking to Dr. Inigo San Milan. A couple of years ago, particularly talking about zone two training. And he was able to explain it so well, it made so much sense. And he was really compelling, wasn't he? But then it's like Tadej Pogačar moved coaches from San Milan. And then suddenly the world moves on and everyone forgets about zone two training, don't they really?
Well, I think it has its limitations too, doesn't it? For some people, the training stimulus from only a few hours of zone two is not enough. So if you have limited time to train, you do therefore need to do harder training.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, you just don't get all the adaptations that you would get from more hours of low intensity riding, do you?
So what we're saying is that if you want to really maximise your potential, like I do at the Gravel World Championships,
like you do, mate, yeah.
You're going to need more time to train. I'm going to need more work hours to train, so speak nicely to your bosses at work and then see if you can squeeze it in.
Yeah, the only downside is not a quick fix, is it? Because you will need to spend a long time working on this aerobic engine. But then the good news is that the benefits last a really long time as well, which might go to some way to explaining why Dan's performance was really quite good off
right.
the back of really not very much.
10 weeks of training, yeah. I think it comes down to natural talent, so I've got some natural talent.
Yeah. Do you know one other potential limitation of this study that I noticed? So although it was published this summer in August, the training that they've looked at, I think it finished in 2019, didn't it?
Just before things got fast.
Well, I mean, there is something to be said for that, isn't there? Because cycling did go up a gear post-COVID, didn't it? And there are lots of reasons why that might be, but certainly people trained differently as a result of having no races to ride. And it might well be that they did more hours. I think that's probably likely, but it'd be interesting, wouldn't it, to see, like, the next step.
Yeah, well, an updated study, you know, again, looking at multiple seasons from the same riders and comparing their own PCS or UCI points or whatever to see how well or badly they performed on different training. Because it was always difficult, you know, as sort of personal, as riders, just one N equals one study kind of thing, isn't it? So I always used to look through my training and even go back a few months and think, what was it I'd done that meant I felt really good on that particular day? But then you just never know whether it's down to years of accumulation and sheer luck that you arrived on that day, maybe not in the race you wanted to peak for, but you felt amazing on that particular one day.
Yeah. The older I get, mate, the more I realise that I should have, more different types of training I should have done. Because, you know, I'm like, well, I didn't do that much zone two. I didn't do that much high intensity. I didn't do that much zone one. And I'm like, what on earth did I do? Because it certainly felt like I was trying
lots
pretty hard.
Lots of sweet spot.
Basically, yeah. That was it, totally.
Just riding around at a good tempo. I think you make a good point about Pogačar changing coaches as well, though, because when you've got the best rider in a generation, it sort of doesn't matter what they're doing, they're going to be the best rider of their generation, aren't they? And so it's easy to sort of think, well, he's doing loads of zone two. That's clearly the key to success. Oh, he's moved coaches and doing different training now. Maybe zone two is no good anymore. We'll move on to something else that Pogačar's doing.
Basically,
and then we'll be the next Pogačar.
Yeah. There are some notes, though, here I see, Dan, where you've got some shortcuts that you are going to take between now and the Gravel World Championships. Heat training?
Yeah, because heat training, you just have to go really easy and just stick to a certain heart rate. And then sauna is the other one. It's kind of heat training, but even better because you just sit there.
Yeah, and then what did I see earlier? Stretching brackets to get more aero?
Yeah, I mean, that's a common one, isn't it? I mean, especially at my age.
I think I would spend less time stretching and more time cycling, probably.
Would you? Well, now I'm looking for shortcuts that make performance gains without much effort at this point. Anyway, let us know your thoughts on long, slow distance. Have you noticed differences in your own results from season to season when completely changing your training? And do you put it down just to that or the fact that you've been riding for a very long time?
I think long, slow riding is probably the key.
Do you?
Yeah.
The stuff we can't do anymore.
The stuff that we can't do anymore, yeah.
Our arduous jobs.
That's what I'm saying, basically. It's the reason I'm not good anymore. It's because I haven't got the time to put the hours in.
We're looking forward to reading your thoughts on that. But just before we move on, I want to remind you that you can join me on my training sessions during work time, as I build up towards those UCI Gravel World Champs in mid-October. So every Tuesday at 9 a.m. BST and every Thursday at 11 a.m, I'm going to be doing a structured session on Zwift. The idea being that I'm less likely to procrastinate or fail completely to do the session if I've got lots of you to answer to.
Yeah. Has it worked so far?
It has actually, yes. As this comes out, 3 sessions will have been completed. So I can only guarantee 2 have been completed thus far. Although I did do the second session solo because of a technical glitch for the actual training session. But you can see on my Strava, I did actually do it.
That was your fault as well, wasn't it?
It was my fault, yeah. Anyway, if you haven't joined just yet, there is still time. So click on the link in the description below and you'll find all the details you need to join me on my training ride.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now. I'm going to start with the news of retiring riders, the aforementioned Geraint Thomas and also Ellen van Dijk, who both drew a line under their careers in their respective home races on Sunday. Thomas, as we said, at the Tour of Britain, van Dijk at the CIMAC Ladies Tour.
There's no swan song victory for either rider, unfortunately, but both races felt like a celebration, really, of the two of the hardest working pro riders the sport has ever seen, I think. That's probably right in saying. Both enjoyed success at the very highest level in careers that both spanned close to 20 years.
Yeah, in one of his recent podcasts, Geraint Thomas said that he knew it was time to retire when he was rubbing shoulders at the Tour of Britain with Ben Wiggins, who is the son of Brad, whom he was teammates with for 6 years. Yeah. I can imagine that would be something of a light bulb moment, wouldn't it?
Well, it probably would feel a bit weird, wouldn't it?
It would.
The son of the guy that used to race with in your own team. Anyway, congratulations to both of them on their incredible accomplishments within the sport.
Yeah, although just before we move on, I did particularly like the custom Pinarello that Geraint Thomas used.
Oh, that was nice, wasn't it?
Very cool, yeah.
It did look bling, didn't it?
Right, classy. From one Tour de France winner to another now, and last week we told you of the news of Chris Froome, and we also, I think, mentioned about how news was scarce following his training accident.
Details.
It sounds like it was for good reason, because he had an additional, very serious complication that required emergency surgery.
Yeah, a pericardial rupture. Apparently, which is where the sac around the heart tears, which is clearly very serious indeed. Thankfully, though, he has now left hospital and is on the road to recovery.
Yeah, sadly, it probably means that he may never now get a final race.
No, that is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, but then he leaves the sport with such an incredible palmarès. And it was a palmarès that, you've got to say, is fairly unlikely when he started out bike racing.
Yeah, definitely.
So, not many people saw that one coming, but one of the greatest Grand Tour riders of his generation, I guess.
Congratulations to Chris. Yeah. Get well soon. Sticking with racing, the unofficial king of the unofficial king of gravel, Keegan Swenson, just added a very, very big race to his CV. The World Mountain Bike Marathon Championships.
I got to say, I mean, I haven't paid much attention to his race calendar, but I did not see that one coming. Super
big,
impressive.
Bands.
Yeah, it shows, to be fair, the strength of the Lifetime GP series, doesn't it? So that's America's kind of premier off-road series. Not only for Keegan Swenson, but the winner of the last round in Leadville, who is, to be fair, a former world mountain bike champion and a pro mountain biker, Kate Courtney, because she also took the Women's Marathon World Cup title, didn't she?
Yeah, the UCI Mountain Bike Champs couldn't really have got off to a better start for Team USA, could they?
No.
Like you said, Courtney has been world champion before in the XCO. That was 7 years ago.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like 7 years ago, but anyway.
No, it does feel more recent than that, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Maybe I've just...
I think when you get to our age, things from like 15 to 20 years ago feel quite recent.
Well, either that or when you get to our age, you just make lots of mistakes and someone's going to pop up and say, oh, it's actually 2021. But no, I think it was. Anyway, we unfortunately don't have any rights to show you footage from the race itself, but it did look properly gnarly from what we've gathered on social media. So there's 5,000 metres of climbing in 125K, and one of the climbs towards the end was so steep that even Swenson and Courtney were often walking.
They're not even running, just walking.
Yeah, yeah, and Kate Courtney said it was a 20-minute hiker bike that came after a one-hour climb.
Mm, absolutely brutal.
Moving
on now to a brand new world record.
Whoa.
Huge congratulations to Dr. Syed Sardar Nawab, who has, according to the Tribune India, set a new world record for non-stop cycling.
Okay, get this. 131 hours, which is over 5 days, without any rest, any sleep, or any solid food. Now, it doesn't say how far he rode in that time, and that's quite important, isn't it? Because apparently this was done on a sandy track of 120 feet in diameter in Dubai. Now, we were quite intrigued by this, weren't we?
Yeah.
A quick search showed that current temperatures there are around 40 degrees centigrade in the day.
Do I detect from your tone, Si, that you are just slightly sceptical about this new world record?
Well, we can only find one news source
currently
for this, can't we? Is it on Strava?
To be honest, I didn't look.
Okay. Well,
I should probably check.
We should probably check, yeah. But there is one main question mark,
What's that?
Well, how did he go to the loo?
Actually, that is a very good point, Si.
Yeah, yes. Like a number one off the bike, eminently doable, probably a bit tricky.
We see that
sand
at the Tour de France, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, sandy conditions, whatever. And number two.
You reckon that's more difficult?
Well, I mean, have you tried?
I haven't tried.
I mean, I would imagine it's not that easy. It's certainly not the sort of thing you'd want to do on a sandy track that's 120 feet in diameter, because let's face it, you'd be riding back past it a lot in 40 degree heat for 5 days.
Well, I presume you had a support crew. Maybe they had a pooper scooper.
Or like
once a
bag.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you've got any further information or even footage of this world record, then we would like to see it. We're all ears.
We're all ears and eyes. Yeah. We'll believe it when we see it, basically. Yeah. Although, given what we've just talked about, maybe we don't want to see footage of it, Si.
No, that's true. Some people, though, actually, some people don't go to the toilet very often, as in, like, number two.
5 days.
Apparently, some people don't do it.
Some explosion after a world record. Meanwhile, Sofiane Sahili's record attempt didn't go so well, fortunately.
No, this has got nothing to do with bathrooms. It's far more serious.
No, the segue is just down to a world record attempt.
Yeah, so he is a bit of an ultra-endurance legend, isn't he? And the Frenchman was attempting to break the record for the crossing of Eurasia by bike. So this is an 18,000-kilometre ride. So the same, actually, as around the world, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
pretty sure.
Sounds similar distance.
Or was it 18,000 miles around the world? Ah, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sort of 20, I don't know.
Something else we should have done.
We're looking distinctly unprofessional right now.
Quick, Google it. He rode from Portugal to the Russian-China border, not far from North Korea.
I know, I saw that on the map. However, unfortunately, with just 200 kilometres of those 18,000 remaining in his record attempt, Sahili was detained at the Russian border on charges of illegal border crossing.
Yeah, so despite having a valid visa, okay, so you've got a feel for him, haven't you?
God, yeah.
So close. And yet, so far, and whilst he might not have got to his planned finish line, what he accomplished in the current political climate is still pretty incredible, isn't it?
No, I'd agree with that, yes. Even just to set out and attempt to do it currently is quite something, isn't it?
Also, like, can you imagine how knackered you'd be after 17,000, whatever it is, like...
Trying to argue a case.
800. Well, yeah, then ending up in a blooming prison.
Mm.
Like, no, like, celebratory burger.
Yeah, there's not been much of an update. I did look on social media. Somebody that knows him quite well put an update or show on the screen right now, but I think they're just trying to let the dust settle and him recover from his efforts before they release any more news. But hopefully he's all okay.
Hopefully
mentally
he is,
and physically.
Yeah.
Right, now time for the much-awaited return of the tenuous cycling celebrity of the week, Luis Enrique. Fractured his collarbone last week after crashing on his bike.
Yeah, who is Luis Enrique?
Oh, he is the manager of Paris Saint-Germain.
Is that a football team?
Soccer, yeah, football team, yeah.
Nice.
Over in France, Paris. Anyway, he is actually a proper cyclist, so I was reading up a little bit on this. A
proper cyclist?
Yeah, he wasn't just like on a hire bike around Paris and got something wrong around a corner. He actually did Cape Epic a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, he really does know his own
things. Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah, jokes aside, get well soon, Luis Enrique. Now, we will finish with some big tech news now. Wahoo have just released a new Kicker Core trainer called the Kicker Core 2 and a new Kicker bike, which is the Kicker Bike Pro.
It's a refined version of the previous one with new shifters and controls, a physique saddle and bar tape, plus, intriguingly, a handlebar designed for improved ergonomics whilst riding indoors.
Yeah. Quite want to see what that's all about. It's also got something that I like the sound of called race mode.
Oh.
Okay, so this offers near instantaneous power response, they say, so that basically when you're racing, like there's no lag, basically. So what you do happens, which is great. And also, I think, there is a motor in the flywheel.
All right.
So it simulates riding downhill. And then when you factor in, they've got the gradient adjust as well. So it makes you feel like you're going uphill because the bike pitches backwards. But then also when the bike goes forwards,
just freewheeling.
Yeah, the motor kicks in as well. How cool is that?
Yeah, I look forward to trying it out.
So
they're pitching it as the ultimate indoor training bike. And as we said, we look forward to getting our hands on one soon to try it out. Hopefully before my training sessions have finished. Well, the UCI gravel welds. Anyway, the Kicker Core 2 we have already got. That's the first update in 7 years to what is an outrageously popular mid-level trainer.
Yeah, so you can get it with the Zwift cog so that it works with virtually any bike straight out of the box, or you can get it with an 11-speed cassette already fitted. And that too, I noticed, has race mode.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, which is very cool. And that's among a raft of other refinements. So the Core 2 now... So they've described it as it kind of acts as the bridge to whatever device you're using it with. So you connect your sensors to the trainer, and then the trainer connects to your device. So it should simplify setup, make it bomb-proof as well.
Simplifying things always good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, just before we finish Cycling Shorts this week, thank you to everyone who's applied to be a part of the Zwift Racing League GCN teams. We had a huge amount of interest,
on
this one. And some very touching stories in the applications as well.
Yeah, so entries have now closed. And actually, those of you who were successful in your application should have been informed via email today. If you weren't successful, then there is still time to register your own team or try and join another existing one. So the first race is on the 16th of September.
Is that this weekend?
No. Is it?
Early next week. Yes. All right, just one more thing, actually, before we finish Cycling Shorts. We also need to remind you that we've got an Insta360 giveaway that is still open. For that one, you've got until this Friday at 10 a.m. BST to put yourself in with a chance of winning one of two Insta360 bundles. That includes the Insta360 camera and a Go 3S camera.
Yeah, so if you click on the link in the description below, you will find all the details you need for that one. Good luck. We enjoy using those, don't we?
Yeah, they are good, aren't they? Worked a wonder on my Strava KOM attempt. Next up, hack/bodge of the week, and we're going to start with an update from last week's Hacks and Bodges.
Yeah, this is from Elon Aviger. Hi GCN, thanks for featuring my hack/bodge. To be honest, I totally get why it looks like a bodge, but it works perfectly and I would feel 100% comfortable using it with all of my bikes. I live in Vancouver, by the way, and not in Switzerland, and I promise you the lockers aren't nearly as tidy as they look.
I'm not sure I believe that because I've just looked at these lockers again. I mean, the floor is so tidy. You could eat your dinner off it like we mentioned last week.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly he's not advocating eating dinner off it.
No.
So anyway, there we
go. Yeah, thanks for the update. Always appreciated. The first new one this week comes in from Rowan Williams, who put, this mobile shot was spotted on one of our group gravel rides in the south of Johannesburg. The rider had loaded his entire store contents on his bike, including a speaker, which was blaring out music as we rode by.
That is cool. Well, and he looks like a happy bloke, doesn't he?
Cruising along,
so that's got to be a hack, surely.
That's a hack from me, yep, definitely.
Yeah, 100%.
That's fully loaded up, isn't he? Crikey.
Yeah, that is mega, isn't it? I mean, it looks like some of those things on the back are toilet rolls, so they are at least light, even if they're not very aero.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There's broom, there's a couple of rakes.
Fair play.
There's a lot going on.
And a massive boombox, which everyone needs. Right then, Professor Simon Wadd sent this one in. We don't often get submissions from professors.
No.
So thank you very much, Simon. I have Shimano Saint / Z brakes on my gravel-ish bike. I know, it already looks weird having these on a drop handlebar, but this isn't a bodge / hack. My brakes are great. Earlier in the year, I did Chase the Sun Northern event and figured some aero bars would allow me to rest my arms and change position. I wanted to be closer to a brake limit, so I attached a second mechanical wire cable brake to one aero bar, and then this interfaces with the left hydraulic lever to pull it. What do you think?
I think that looks genius.
I mean, it does actually look quite good.
I mean, on unsafe sections of road, I wouldn't recommend staying in your time trial bar position, even when you do have brakes, but nevertheless, in an emergency, could get you out of trouble.
I love the fact that in filming this, Professor Simon, you have added those white sheets of paper so that we can more clearly see.
Yeah.
Which I think in itself is a hack, isn't it?
Right, yeah, we're both going hack then.
I think we are both going hack.
Fantastic. Yeah,
100%,
stuff. Yeah. Next up, Mitch Baum. I've gotten really tired of carrying a heavy e-bike compatible hitch rack from my backyard storage area out to my driveway every time I need to install the rack or remove it from my car. So I built a car using some scrap wood along with a set of three large caster wheels, two fixed and one swivel, to move the rack back and forth. The rack fits nicely on the car and the big wheels make it very easy to move around. It only takes a second to transfer the rack from the car to the car. Easy.
That's a hack, isn't it? There's no arguing with that. That's just a hack.
You in a rush this week?
I mean, no. I've got all the time in the world, mate. But
it's still work time. You've got a training ride to do or something.
Yeah, basically. Do you not think? I mean, there's no arguing there, is it?
No.
Mitch has basically seen this problem,
and
thought his way out of it, built his way out of it,
yeah.
And so now there is no more lugging. And this is, you know, I don't have an e-bike hitch rack, but I've got a three bike hitch rack,
oh.
And they are blooming heavy.
Yeah,
I think this is great.
Okay, you gonna make yourself one of these?
Well, no, because unfortunately I've got stairs.
Well, you gotta lug your bike rack upstairs.
Yeah.
Crikey, Si.
Yeah. City living, bud.
You're lucky you've got guns on you like you have.
Exactly. It's no wonder the guns are this big as well with a three bike hitch rack. But anyway, there we go. Yeah, I'm a total noob to tow bars on cars. It's amazing what kind of load they can carry.
My parents had one when I was sort of 15, 16, 17. I've not had one since. But so I know all of their virtues and that they're great. I've just been too tight to actually pay for one to be put on one of my cars since.
I mean, you probably don't really need one unless you need one, right? It's not like there's any point in having
Would have made a few things easier in the past, and we might have been able to go on a few more cycling holidays as a family, but as it is, I've just put my own bike in the back. Right, Mark Blagden put a back muscle issue meant a last-minute swap from my gravel bike to e-bike for a back roads gravel track bike packing coast-to-coast trip. Was that me, or did that sound very wordy?
Back roads gravel track bike packing coast-to-coast trip.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we get the gist.
Yeah. I wanted the wider tyres and carbon wheels from the gravel bike on the e-bike to swap them over, checked the indexing and brakes work, then headed off on the 400-mile drive to Ravenglass. When starting the ride the next day, my heart sank when I realised the rear wheel didn't have the magnetic wheel sensor needed to enable the e-bike motor to run.
Oh, that's a mistake.
So I bought a bike with high gearing and a 6-kilogram weight penalty. However, you remember in the past where I've admitted to getting to finding other people's misfortune very funny.
Yeah.
This is a case in point. However, my mate then piped up with, "I've got a few magnets in the van." So we spent 30 minutes cobbling a wheel sensor together from super glue, half a chain link, gaffer tape, and his magnets. Lasted the 180 miles and 3-day trip. Lifesaver.
I tell you what, fair play, guys, because that is some serious.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, I mean,
cool,
it
looks really neat as well.
It does look very neat, yeah. Some serious bodging / hacking. So, yeah, well done.
Imagine how distraught you'd be when you sort of thought to yourself,
"Oh man,
I've got a bit of a helping hand here, a bit of a leg up the climbs of the motor." And then you think, "Actually, I've got no motor and an extra 6 kilos.
That is savage.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's such an easy mistake to make, right? You would never think that. But anyway, there we go. So, yeah, well done, Mark. That is. That's an absolute hack to get yourself out of jail.
I think that was 4 hacks this week, wasn't it? Make sure you get involved, ready for next week's show, globalcyclingnetwork.com / uploader.
It's time now for Capturing Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo that we'll give you in just 1 second after the results from last week.
This was last week's photo. Filippo Ganna and his teammate Langelotti relaxing at the Vuelta a España pre-stage start. Our winner this week is Steve Douglas 3975, who put, "This relaxing lark is a real pain in the neck."
That is great. That is genuinely good.
It does sort of look half relaxing and half painful, doesn't it?
It does.
That posture.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I mean, simple, genius, funny. So we both laughed internally, didn't we, when we read that one?
Internally, yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah, get in touch, Steve, and we will get your GCN Camelback water bottle out to you very soon.
This week's photo comes from the Lloyd's Tour of Britain and the podium.
Is that yours?
Yeah.
Not yours.
It cost me a lot of money to sponsor that.
Did it? Yeah. Did you get much value out? No, that's not okay.
Anyway, it's Tudor Pro Cycling signing on. I will get you started. Geraint Thomas receives a large fine for signing on at final pro race in the wrong kit.
See what you did there, mate.
Obviously, this is actually Judo Alaphilippe with a Geraint Thomas mask on. Which actually doesn't look that much like Geraint Thomas.
No, no.
I thought it might be just this photo, but then I found other photos with lots of other people with a Geraint Thomas mask on.
What's the deal with the nose?
I don't know, it's a much bigger nose than he's actually got, isn't it?
But is it like a 3D nose?
I don't know what's it
looks
going
like.
On.
You know those comedy glasses you get that have got a nose and a moustache attached to them?
Yeah.
It looks like one of those.
I can't quite work out what's going on. It looks more like Bob Youngles than Geraint Thomas to me. But anyway, put your captions in the comment section down below. And
poor old Bob Youngles. He doesn't look as bad as that.
All right. We'll cut that bit out of the edit. And we'll pick a winner this time next week. We will shortly let you know what's coming up on the channel this week, but first up, as ever, a few comments from last week's video, starting with the GCN show. Andrew Coburn put, "Watching MVDP racing cross-country just shows how good Pidcock is at mountain biking." There were a few comments along those lines.
Well, that is true, yeah. I mean, it really does, doesn't it? Show how good he is. Huntos83 said, "Vanderpool raced well and smartly. Considering the work he had to do to pass a huge number of riders and get to the front group, it's pretty clear that with a better grip position, he would have been right up there contesting the podium or the win."
We'll find out this Sunday, won't we?
Well, we will, but it's because he also lost a truckload of time.
On every descent.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know, course-dependent, I think, like our expert Ollie Beckinsale said last week.
The other thing we chatted about last week, along with Vanderpool and mountain biking, were bike lanes. And Badger Juice wrote in, "So the problem with bike paths where I am, Maryland, US, is that they're never cleaned. Glass, metal car bits, rocks, it's all there. So I choose to ride on the road."
Yeah, to be fair, I'm with you there. Like, when you, particularly the bike paths down like the gutter on a road, like, it is literally where all the debris and crap ends up. So when I first read this, I thought it meant gravel paths. And when I was looking at, like, you know, there's rocks, there's everything on there. I was thinking to myself,
stones.
I mean, that is kind of what gravel riding is, but the glass and the metal bits, not so much. And then a little update on the retro mountain bike that has been converted into a gravel bike. That really stole my heart last week. So Gary Jackson, thanks for writing in again. "Sy, in response to your question, this bike will never be finished. That's the point. I've updated the chainring to a narrow wide one and pedals to Crank Brothers single-sided. The tyres to 38mm Panaracer Gravel King Slicks. It still rides okay for me as my bag of talent is quite small and at 65 years old, wipeouts take a little long to get over. If you're going to do a mountain bike to gravel conversion video, please do it with all the mistakes and the eventual fixes because that's what gives you the emotional buy-in when you're riding. First up, before I do any kind of gravel to mountain bike to gravel conversions, I'm putting a fixie together.
Are you?
But I've not chosen the easy path. I have a very specific fixie in mind, but that fixie is causing a whole world of headaches. So there'll be lots of, mistakes and hopefully eventual fixes.
And they're all going to be documented, are they?
All of them,
fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
Meanwhile, underneath the video where I was going to say we, like Ollie and Andrew Fair, they fixed the 3.6 kilogram climbing bike so it was actually rideable, and then took on a famous climb in Wales that was used at the Tour of Britain on Saturday. Ryan Fox put, great job, but an Ollie video without a love you, bye, just doesn't seem complete. Not sure why he left that out on that particular video.
Yeah, good point.
David F, 2281, feather chatting away at the top while Dr. B is unable to speak after going up on an e-bike. That was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Joshua Voice, a top-level cycling talent, says the guy is sitting in sixth place. Do you know what that's a reference to?
Yes, because Ollie uploaded his ride to Strava despite being on an e-bike, and he was provisionally sixth.
Oh, I see.
I think they've both been flagged, though, at this point.
I presume Feather's not been flagged.
I think he's been flagged because he was drafting an e-bike.
Oh, come on. And yet the entire leaderboard now is Tour of Britain riders.
People drafting. I mean, to be fair, even if all brake checked stuff, one still got the KOM, so...
Yeah. I mean, it does put in perspective that Feather still got absolutely smoked by a bunch of Tour Britain guys riding up
seconds.
Into a headwind. Yeah, I suppose...
It's a 12-minute effort, isn't it? 12 seconds is not...
Really? That's smoked, yeah. Come on, it's not smoked. Totally smoked.
Harsh.
That's the beauty of being like a pundit, is you can be harsh. No one says anything about it. You have to be able to do it yourself.
No.
Right, and then I don't know about you guys, I loved watching the latest instalment of Dan's, can we call it a saga?
Psychological woes.
Yeah, like the soap opera that is Daniel Lloyd's relationship with cycling. I mean, raw, honest.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd been chatting to you about it for the last few weeks, haven't I?
Yeah.
My head's fallen off, just can't get myself back out on the bike. So you said, well, why don't you do a video about it? So I said, all right. There we go.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Thursday's video.
Comments are brilliant. The ones on Instagram, I took screenshots and sent them to Dan because I was chuckling so much. I liked Anne Cromut said, dude's done more comebacks than Rocky by now. Just slightly less successful. And Mike Peppersack said, again? What the f***?
There's going to be more, I have no doubt, in the coming years.
Yeah. That's true. Oh, and by the way, I screenshotted something else off Instagram from one of GCN's reels. A Kiwi girl said, somehow we have an unwritten rule here in Germany that you only say hi to other cyclists outside the city limits and only to cyclists with helmets.
Oh.
And so this is obviously about who you say hi to on a bike. And I'm saying, I don't feel comfortable saying hi to like normal city cyclists when I'm clearly a middle-aged man in Lycra. Like, it just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
They look at me like I'm even weirder than normal. But this makes sense, right?
There's like, a proper criteria written down.
Yeah, but as
rules
in like...
you can follow.
But it does make sense because you're like, well, you're outside the city, so you're obviously going for like a bike ride or at least going for like a proper commute. And then if you're wearing a helmet, that kind of does also... Certainly in like Europe, in the Netherlands and stuff, where people don't wear helmets when they're riding because they don't need to. So anyway, thank you very much for that one, Kugel. I appreciate that.
Anyway, back to my video.
Sorry.
There were a couple of fairly nice comments.
Oh, were there?
More than a couple, actually. There were a lot of detail. I actually didn't manage to read all of the comments. There were that many and they were that detailed. But I picked this one out because it's very positive about me.
Oh, great.
Dan, I rode the Manchester to London ride. The evening before the ride, I had the honour... of meeting you.
Honour.
Right, it's quite a long comment this one.
Okay.
I expressed a certain dread of the following day. You mentioned I would have a group of people around me who would be there to support me. Implicit in this, I heard you saying whatever expectation I might have to step away from that and focus on the people around me. At one point between groups on my own, I felt a reassuring hand on my back. It was you.
Oh. That's beautiful.
I won't forget that. Well, it does go on for quite a long time, but yeah, I've probably reached the end of the show at this point.
Well, hang on a minute. I love your clear-eyed honesty, and now that I've met you, your humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find a great act, Si, when I'm out in public.
No, I think that's really cool, though, isn't it? Because I think it shows that everyone has the highs and the lows, the worries or whatever, and whether it's you or it's like some other random person giving you a bit of encouragement, like that is proper cool, isn't it? So yeah, fair play, mate.
Oh, it's nice to be amongst the cycling community, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, on the channel this week then, starting on Thursday, this is you, isn't it?
Yeah.
The ultimate cargo bike test.
Well, not just a test, a full-blown science experiment.
Crikey.
Yeah, so this is wicked. We got wind of this amazing research project that's been done by a few universities in the UK, led by a team up at Leeds University. And it was basically a huge research project about people's attitudes to cargo bikes and then lending a group of people cargo bikes to see what happened ultimately, which is brilliant, isn't it? Because normally it's just me wittering on about my own experiences of cargo bikes, but now we've got like actual people that aren't cycling nerds.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
So yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun making that one. And then on Friday, this one is with you, isn't it? How to get started
it
on
is.
Zwift,
yes.
On a budget.
So another update on, well, yeah, getting started on Zwift when you haven't got a huge amount of money to spend, which is increasingly a thing that you can do, because unlike most other parts of cycling, indoor training is gradually getting cheaper over the years for getting the same amount of quality, power, accuracy, etc., etc. So I've got a whole heap of different trainers that I'll be going through and telling you how you can get on Zwift for a budget, as Si said. So
yeah,
that one will be out on Friday.
Yeah, and then Sunday, this is a video that you will not want to miss. Connor has bought himself a pair of bionic pants, basically, that promised to give him 1,000 watts. He put his bionic pants / trousers to the test against Andrew Feather, which, I mean, the mind boggles. All I've got in my head is Wallace and Gromit's The Wrong Trousers.
Oh, yeah, totally. I can't wait to see the thumbnail, let alone the video.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so put a note in your diaries for Sunday. Hopefully there should be
it's gonna
some
good.
Some comedy
pants.
Right, thank you all for watching.
See you next week.